Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Oh, it's the last day before we know if Brisbane gets the Olympics or not. So coming up in the podcast, lots of chat about that, including with Bruce McAvaney. And you were talking about, you'll hear it coming up, talking about what sports, the new sports in the Olympics. And we've had a text, someone suggesting what will be in the Brisbane Olympics in 2032.
Peter from Buchan text through. He said, Marto, I reckon the 2032 Olympics will have Ninja Warrior.
Oh, not interesting. Why wouldn't it?
Well, we just watched.
And what would Mount Gravatt be Mount Kilimanjaro? You get to the top of Mount Gravatt and you plant a flag and go, oh, I got this.
It'd have to be Mount Kutha, wouldn't
Mount
it?
Mount Kutha, yeah. Right.
Cycle up it backwards. But we just saw some guy break the world record of 951 burpees.
Oh, hold on. Let
Please
me have
don't
a go.
Make that an Olympic sport.
Oh, yuck.
Yuck. That's the worst
one.
That is repulsive.
How many did he do?
Not that sort of burpees, you know, the exercise where you jump up and then do down to a push up in the ground.
Hard.
Yeah, 951 of them. Yuck.
In how long?
Who chooses to do that? What an idiot.
He needs a job. What is he? MMA fighter.
An MMA fighter.
Oh, God.
Sort of.
There's something wrong with him.
All right, let's get the podcast underway. We're talking mad dads, also report cards at schools, but let's get things going. Marto with a thought on sport.
Marto's thought on sport.
For many people today, Margo, it is Olympic countdown, Olympic announcement countdown
Olympic
day. That's right, 10 hours 55. Is it 11 hours 55? 10 hours 55 minutes until the earth shattering news gets delivered that we've got the Olympics. It'll become as a complete surprise to many. Now, we never miss an opportunity to hop on a bandwagon. Would that be right? As soon as we sniff something that's going all right, we go, hey, that's us. We like that.
Well, we're not really ever overly committed to anything in particular, so it's good to be able to just, you know, be fluid.
I'll tell you what.
What are we on?
Here at Triple M, we eat and breathe softball.
Triple M. The Softball Network.
That's right, softball. There's the other countdown. 2 hours and 55 minutes until our girls, the Aussie Spirit, play their first game at the Olympics against the Rainers.
Come on, Aussie Spirit.
We're against the... Yeah, keep that stuff up.
Go the Aussie Spirit.
We're not a little bit less.
Throw it underarm.
Not a little less than that. Hold on.
Throw it overarm.
Let me talk
Hit
for a while.
Hit a home run.
Slide into the base.
Hit the big ball.
Why?
Tuck your knickerbockers in.
2 hours 55 until we take on the reigning gold medalists. Yeah, big game first up. The host nation. We're playing Japan. What about this?
Oh, they're losers. We're going to win.
So you got you got 2 hours 53 minutes now to get all your work done, then tools down and turn it on to seven, mate, and watch that household names.
Tools down, bats up. Bats up.
Now, listen, why do they tuck their shirt into their pants and
their pants into their socks? Strange.
Let's not be negative because
no,
it's happy softball day. Thank you. Stacey Porter, all the facts I've Googled. It'll take me 3 minutes to Google everything you'll ever need to know. USA, the Olympics has only had softball five times. USA's won four gold medals. Japan's won one. We have medaled, that's a verb. We have medaled either silver or bronze in every Olympics. Come on, say it again.
Incredible.
Go the Spirit.
Go the Spirit.
Thank you. All right, 10 o'clock
softball,
this morning.
Softball, you mean hardball.
Oh, yeah.
Triple M, the Softball Network. Here's what you need to know with Bianca Stein from 7 News.
Don't believe I'm saying this. 10 hours and 39 minutes until the Olympic announcement. Is it something like that, Bianca? What?
It is 11 hours, 8 minutes and 14 seconds, 13 seconds, 12 seconds.
Whatever, I've ruined
Marta's
people's
so
evening.
Marta's so excited. He's taken 29 minutes off the timer, right. Bianca. Now, where are you?
I am in the middle of King George Square where there's a half-court basketball court set up. There is green and gold absolutely everywhere. Green and gold Krispy Kreme donuts. There are bacon and eggs. Stephen Bradbury, I think, is cooking bacon and eggs. They're getting quick, you know, last man standing and all that sort of stuff. And so much excitement here. I'm surprised at just how many people have come down.
How many? Six or seven? How many people are there, really?
No, lots more than that.
That's just the homeless people.
All the media people.
Yes.
Take away the people playing basketball. Yeah. There's probably about 300 people already down
Incredible
here.
Incredible scenes.
Who's breaking the cold?
Who are those
just
people?
Because of the excitement.
Tell us about the excitement, Bianca. Is it true that they're going to be doing fireworks tonight and there's a party happening at South Bank? What is going on in this city?
That is true. It's also a free concert. You can get down there at South Bank. You can watch it all happen live. They'll be there from about 10 o'clock today because the Olympics actually kick off today. So the official opening ceremony is not till Friday, but the Olympics kick off today. And the announcement stuff, well, there's action from about 4 o'clock this afternoon. John Stevens is headlining. Busby Maru's going to be down there as well.
What?
And they have booked the fireworks. That is how confident the government is that we are going to get the game.
What happens if we lose, though?
Yeah, exactly. Little Miss Excitement. I saw you on Channel 7 Sunrise a few minutes ago.
You got
your yellow shirt on. Your hair looks terrific and you're pumping this up. What does happen if they sit there, the delegates, and we don't get a majority and we don't get the Olympics? Then what? You've got us all pumped up into a frisson of excitement. What are you going to do?
Did you see me get hit in the back of the head by a basketball live on air? That's
no.
pretty good.
I wish I did.
That'll be fantastic. But look, that could well happen. Queensland could well get hit in the head by a basketball, and the IOC might vote against us. It is very unlikely. Look, I'm a betting girl. My money is on Brisbane getting the 2032 games, but there is that chance. So it all comes down to a 45-minute presentation. The Premier, the Brisbane Lord Mayor, the PM's going to be zooming in. There's also a video presentation from past and present sports stars as well. The IOC will sit down, they'll listen to that, they'll then question them, talk about the whole proposal, and then they will vote. And it comes down to majority rules. At this stage, we are the only bidders, so we're the only ones in the running.
Imagine if we still lost if we were the only bidders.
They just said, let's call it off.
Imagine Anastasia stuck in hotel quarantine for 14 days, just having to question her life choices.
Now, listen, you work for the Olympic Network. How are you guys covering it? Are we going live to Tokyo?
Oh, we are going live all day, baby.
All day?
4 o'clock from Channel 7, you will see live coverage of the announcement. You'll see all the lead up to it. You'll see all the delegation. You'll see lots of crosses to plenty of different people within the Olympics, Paralympics as well, because we can't forget that it's Olympic Paralympic bid too. It is really exciting. No matter whether you support the bid or not, this is a significant day in Queensland's history.
Yep.
It's been described as historic.
I'm not getting any work done. At all.
It's going to be a historic day.
Yeah. I hope you're going to be up to this. Going all the way through, Bianca?
Stop it. It's in 11 years. Right. Come on.
I know.
I'm going all the way, baby.
Bianca, that's been wonderful. I've never heard such a good report from a, what are we? 10 hours away from an announcement.
10 hours.
Keep up the good work.
4 minutes and 32 seconds.
Bianca Stone, Channel 7, Sunrise. Stay warm. Have a great day. We'll all be watching.
Thanks,
B.
Thanks, guys.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Hey, if you're a school teacher, any grade, I want to hear from you, 133353, because I read a really interesting thing in the paper today, and that is that they're looking to scrap comments on report cards, Marto.
You mean the personal comment they write at the end after all the letters?
The teachers' union are striking a deal with education department regarding concerns over rising workloads. A growing number of schools have ditched comments on report cards altogether.
I've got a school teacher, mate. She said it's a pain in the ass doing that bit.
Well, I think that report cards are becoming less and less personal. I remember I was a kid, we always used to get a handwritten comment at the bottom of the report card. It was a personal observation by your teacher. And now more and more we're seeing, we just got our semester one report cards for the kids.
Oh, that's why you're bringing this up.
Off the back of school holidays, they're going into a new term three for semester two. So we get a semester one report card from term one and term two. And it's the first thing I read, Marto. I go to the behavioural comment.
Yep.
I think it's personal. I think it gives you a great indication of how your child is doing in the classroom. It's not just about, you know, whether they're getting A's, B's or C's, because, you know, you can work on that sort of stuff. But I want to know that they're a good kid and that they're engaging and they're interested and they're curious and they're asking questions and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's where you get an indication, because for 6 hours of the day, I don't see my child in that environment. I only see them at home.
Have they got a good attitude? That's what you want to know.
I've got them at home when their attitudes stink. And if I was to write a report card, it would be all the negative things. Don't listen. listen, don't make your bed, didn't put your washing away, left your laundry.
Don't get on with
laundry.
The other kids.
Exactly, yeah. Fighting in
back
class.
Back chat to adults.
Yes. Yeah. But when you get their report cards, you read them and you're pleasantly surprised because you're like, oh my gosh, they are a good listener. They're diligent. They're asking questions. They're engaging. They're considerate of their classmates. They, you know, engage in tasks that they're asked to do.
Does this mean your kid's got a lot of B's? Is that why you like that?
Well, I was really impressed, actually. My kids got great report cards. We were really, really happy.
Nice.
But it was more so the comments that, you know, like just that reassurance that, you know, all the hard work that you're doing as a parent is paying off because they're half decent.
Can I ask, so they're still doing it now. They're still doing the comments,
well,
but their teachers' union is saying it's got to stop.
Our school is doing them. And it's literally the first thing. It's a big box where the teacher has actually written a comment.
I know what you mean.
When they do the A, Bs and Cs, it's just a generic, you know, working with. You know, working towards, you know, adapting, blah, blah, blah. And it's copy and paste, copy and paste, copy and paste. So this is actual personalised feedback about your child.
You want teachers because
I like it.
I know this friend of ours says it takes forever. You have 28 kids and you're going to go, Jaden bash 4 kids last week. All right, how do I write something nice? They're all trying.
I'm not sure that's the feedback parents want to know.
Well, they're trying to write something nice despite Jaden being a nasty little piece of work.
Yeah.
And that takes them hours and hours and hours on top of all their prep and all that.
Does it though? 1-3-3-5-3. I want to hear from the teachers out there. They're looking to have this removed. Some schools have already removed it, Marto. I really love it. I think teachers do an incredible job.
Of course they do.
And I love getting the feedback because I'm that parent. I'm like, you know what? You are in control. You are the expert. I will do whatever it is that you say that you need from me or us as a family to be able to do your job. I'm at your disposal. Go for it.
So
you know?
The letters to you don't mean much. It's the it's the actual.
Yeah, I don't care, ABC, but if they're doing their best and they're trying their hardest and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing in class, I want to know that. 1-3-3-5-3. Would it be sad to see this go? I mean, if you're a parent even, ring in. What is it that you love about that little part of the report card that means so much to us as parents? But teachers, is it really that much of a pain in the butt for you guys to do?
I bet it is. Like Steve's very disruptive in class. They won't put that. They'll put he's easily led by others and stuff.
Yeah, so it's like, where's an example here? Identify and describe factors in multiples. Solve simple problems, including, you know, like they get these marks and exemplary. What does that mean? The student consistently
exemplary
demonstrates
really
these skills effectively. I don't want to know that. You know, like, yeah, that's great. But it says here at the top, you know, so-and-so as a learner. So I'll give you an example. It says here, Wiley maintains a positive approach to his learning, but sometimes needs encouragement to see the value of putting in added effort to grow. Great. That's something that we can work on. Wiley is confident when speaking to the class and enjoys sharing his ideas. Mm. He is curious and he likes to demonstrate being enthusiastic during cooperative group sessions. You know, like just a little bit about how he, you know, how his personality, how his being
good.
Plays out in class.
Take enthusiastic out of that. That's
what
you want
from
your kid.
Taking it away, you know, it doesn't make it personable.
Have we got other parents or
Michelle
teachers?
Michelle from Morningside, are you a parent or a teacher?
Neither. I work in childcare, but I have 4 siblings who all education teachers.
Oh, nice.
Wow, incredible. So you obviously would see that teachers do a lot of work and they are undervalued and underrated as a profession.
Absolutely.
Is this something that we want to see go?
No, it's definitely not something. And when I've spoken to them, there's other paperwork that's more unnecessary that could be gotten rid of rather than the comments section, which is so vital to parents and teachers because it's a way of communicating to them.
Michelle, they'd spend a lot of time ticking boxes. What are some of those other boxes that they reckon your siblings reckon that can go?
Oh, geez. Like they have a yearly planner. Then they have like a term planner, a monthly planner, a weekly planner, a daily planner, and they have to all fill that in and they're taking time out of school holidays. Because you think, teachers get so many
school holidays, they're working.
Just not a case.
Yeah,
and they're taking it home with them every night. And some of the markings is a bit crazy.
So you
Whereas
reckon,
that's such a vital thing, I wouldn't take that.
It's not 30 hours of contact a week. It's plus, plus, plus. Maybe they're doing 50 hours, 60 hours a week.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy, but those comments are vital. They really didn't think it through if they're really thinking about taking those away.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too, Michelle. I think it's imperative, like she said, it's a way not only for the parents to get communication, but for the teachers to be able to communicate with the parents because, you know, we don't always get that. There's so many, you know, parent-teacher interviews, then you get time for that then. But it's generally about how we can, you know, help the child be better or develop better somewhere where they're lacking. But this is like just a general overall behavioural report.
He's Steve on the burner phone text message. The comments, these comments build a child's confidence. Well, they also build a parent's confidence exactly. too, I suppose. My niece had Taylor is a danger to herself and others for her sport, sport and PE. You don't get that sort of feedback with the ABC.
Certainly don't.
Taylor's a Gumby, isn't she? Sorry, Taylor.
Jenny from Eaton's Hill, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, look, the Queensland Teachers Union has suggested that there's too much work for teachers and so that they're going to pull the comment section, the personalised comment section on report cards. Are you a parent or a teacher, Jenny?
I'm a teacher.
Okay, okay. Tell us. We want to know. We know that you've got lots on your plate, but the commenting section, is it, you know, is that really going to take a lot of work off for how valuable it is for parents?
Look, in the past, the comments used to take hours and hours and hours. Now, what they're actually proposing to do to allow the specific comments, the ones you were talking about, to do positioning, blah, blah, blah. But the behaviour comment is still staying and the general comment is still staying.
Oh.
And so what are they getting rid of?
The actual, where it says next to English that they can write a paragraph and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
In the general comment, most schools are putting in a pro forma that says you need a paragraph about English, a paragraph about maths, and a paragraph about something else. And it also allows teachers to say what's the strength of this particular child, what's something they can work on, and what's a future goal for them. So the teachers are still spending a lot of time doing that because they know their children so well.
And isn't it just copy and pasted though, Jenny? Like all the reports are typed out these days. Look, long gone are the days where report cards used to be handwritten. It's just sort of a copy and paste type system.
The ones for the subject specific things were turning very much into the copy and paste.
Yep.
But the general comments are usually personally written for each individual child, and teachers still spend hours doing that.
Yeah.
But it is less than doing that subject.
Jenny, do you ever get any humorous ones like Braden at the age of 13 needs to look for an apprenticeship immediately? Do you ever get teachers being overly honest?
Let's just say that there's a bit of edgy speak that goes on.
That happens over a cup of coffee in the teacher green room.
Yeah.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Triple M is your home of early access to the Ekka. We want to send you there with your family before everyone else with the Big Breakfasts. First in show, your next chance to win coming up before 8 o'clock.
Oh, blah, 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 Ekka, Dave. Like, I tell you what's on in 12 hours and 20 minutes, and that is the announcement to tell us that we have got the Olympics.
Where are we at with this? Because Anastasia Palaszczuk went over on the weekend. Yeah. When does she present to the committee to say, hey, pick us, we're the only ones that are a viable option?
They had it on the news last night. They did their practice presentation last night, and Shrina the Grinner and the federal member, what's his name, Richard Colbeck. So the three of them.
A practice.
Yeah. Oh, practice thing. And she sat there and they had some English girl and she was head of the Future Olympics Board or something. Oh. She was telling them how to go because all the Olympic delegates, which are complete wankers.
Who really are we in the race with?
Good
like
question.
Who else is
there anyone else?
Is there anyone else? Who else is
no.
putting in a tender for the
there's
bid?
There's no one else. But they're going, you've got to get a majority of votes. There's usually 130 of them. These Olympic delegates. Like we've got one from Australia. Most countries have got one apart from the little countries. There's normally 130, but because of COVID, they're going, only 87 of you can come in to vote.
Oh.
So therefore we need to get 44 minimum.
So they're the people we should be impressing. Because, I mean, we've already had the Olympics here before. We had it in Sydney in 2000. Maybe they'll be like, no,
Melbourne.
Australia has already had it. We don't want them to have it again.
We'll be one of the only, I think, the USA and
I think it was the UK, wasn't
UK,
it?
UK.
Had it more than twice.
So this will be our third time.
Our third time. Melbourne, 1956, Sydney, 2000, and Brisbane.
Brisbane, 2032.
But listen. This is Palaszczuk. This is in the practice presentation because she's got to stand in front of, and that's why she's over there. That's why she had to go eyeball them, these 87 delegates, and you have to get more than half. So they've got to get 44 minimum votes. But if you're sitting there as a delegate, you're going, it's either Brisbane, well, I vote. What am I going to write on the piece of paper? Brisbane or
Egypt.
Brisbane or what's the other option? There are no other options.
So we've been refining everything, and I think we're good to go.
We're good to go.
If that's her practice speech. I hope she's better in her real speech.
Oh, she'll get that.
She said, "Ah, you can't say
ah." The thing I worry about. Here's what I worry. Oh, I worry about two things. One is that the robot Stephen Miles, he's the acting premier at the moment.
Mm.
Saw him get up yesterday. I didn't grab the audio. But
why is it that the acting stand-ins are always so lackluster? I mean, we had that Mick McCormick standing in for the.
Did you see the deputy mayor? Crikey, Krista Adams. Jesus, shouldn't she an ordinary conveyance?
Now we got all the robots front and centre.
So the robot got up and he said, you will never, make sure you know where you're going to be. Plan to be somewhere where you will never forget it at 6:30, as in tonight. 6:30 tonight because of the big announcement. They're going to go crazy here tonight at 6:30.
If we do win the games, Brisbane skyline is set to line up. Fireworks are being prepared to be launched off barges in the river and buildings in the CBD.
Isn't that held especially for river fire?
That's right. Well, no, that's what they're saying.
Last-minute preparations are underway at the main party site in South Bank.
There's some sort
COVID
of party.
Restrictions limiting the live site to just 2,500 people.
I was just going to say, we're not allowed to go to clubs and dance and we have to wear masks, but let's go have a party at South Bank for the announcement of the Olympics, which we were already going to win. That's in 11 years' time.
2,500 people there. Well, they're catering for 2,500 people to turn up. I don't get the whole thing, but for the Deputy Premier to say, you will never forget, be somewhere because you will never forget where you were. Listen, I remember where I was when Princess Diana died.
I remember where I was.
I remember where I was when 9/11 occurred.
Yeah, me too.
But they're things that just bang, suddenly happened and you're stopped in your tracks. You can't plan to be somewhere, right, at 6:29 tonight, I'm going to be standing
people
somewhere.
People will, Marto.
They will not. Because
it'll be all over Instagram,
what
social
else do you
media,
remember where
it'll
you
be
were.
Going nuts.
Oh, rubbish. It will not be. You tell me in your life, where else have you, what do you remember? The things that make you go, I will never forget. They're the only two I can think of in my life. Why would that be? Princess Diana.
I remember in grade 10 when my boyfriend Joel dumped me.
That where were you?
Sad. Maybe I might need the Olympics to,
what about when Steve Irwin died?
To be a moment and a memory. Steve Irwin died.
Where were you when that happened?
Where were you? What are the things? Like, what?
1-3-3-5-3. Let's ask.
Is it what? Oh, no.
What are the moments in time that people remember? Will the Olympic, us winning the Olympic
Broncos
bid,
first grand final 2000 and, oh no, what was that? 19...
everything about every game of every football.
No, 1992 when we beat St George. I remember the lounge I was sitting in and the house I was sitting in.
When I was in grade 10, my boyfriend rode his bike over from his shift at Big W at the Hyperdome to break up with me.
How did that go?
That was very sad. I cried.
So he finished, Thursday night shopping or
Thursday
something?
Thursday night, like, not shopping. He worked over at Big W and came over and
I want
said,
something bigger than that. Tristan from
don't
Regents.
Think it's working anymore.
Okay, stop. It's Tristan from Regents Park. Tristan?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, what was the big event? You'll never forget where you were.
Oh, well, Marto, mine would have to be what you already said before on the Broncos grand final, mate.
Which one?
That we... Oh, 92.
92.
1992.
We were just looking at maybe moving in to take over, and my parents take over Telebudger Tourist Park, and we found our way, and so I ran up.
We lost you there, Tristan.
Hold on, Tristan.
Tristan wanted to say apparently Talibadger
He was
Caravan
managing
Park.
The Talibadger Caravan Park when he found out the Brisbane Broncos had won the grand final.
You never forget
Incredible.
That.
Incredible. What a moment for
He'd
him in his life.
He drive past and bore his kids every time. That's where we were
20 years later.
Won.
Won't forget.
Oh, never.
We've got so many of you calling through and we just can't get to you because we don't have time.
Where
but Stephen
were
from
you?
Hillcrest, Bob Hawke's famous announcement after the America's Cup.
Oh, that's
he
a good
was
one.
At home sick. Graham from Brighton's getting ready to go to work when the Sydney Olympics was announced. Like
I can,
so many
I can
good
remember
runs.
That. I can remember the Sydney Olympics because that was unexpected. We were actually up against other countries.
What about Adam from Petrie? He was an apprentice at the Lutwyche squash courts when Steve Irwin died.
Yeah, but a lot of people remember that because that came as a shock, whereas this is no shock. John from Boondall, where were you when something happened?
Yeah, g'day, Margo. Mate, I was in at National State School in the grade one or two class, I think it was. Sitting on the floor with all of my classmates watching black and white TV of the lunar landing and
Apollo 11
taking off.
Neil Armstrong jumping out and walking on the moon.
I'll never forget. I was in the Chermside State School Library in grade one, I think, and I was a little kid and up the back. I knew there was something going on, but I couldn't see the TV.
1969. Yeah. Wow. What a memory. Mm. Theo from Annerley, 133353.
What can't he
Where
forget?
Were you and what were you, what did you remember?
I believe it was 1980. It was a school day. After school, I'm at a department store in Toowoomba, and it was announced John Lennon was shot.
Oh, God, Jerry, no. New York. God, oh, did you love the Beatles, obviously, Theo?
Well, I loved the Beatles, yeah, but he was the first to go, and not just died, he was, he was murdered in front of the building.
We all know that.
Theo, try to keep the emotions contained. Where will you be tonight at 6:30?
I'll remember it if we don't get it.
Yes. What if we don't get it? Has anyone thought about that? There's been all this hype and build up. We've got fireworks and barges on the Brisbane River. What if we don't get it?
I don't know.
Shall we have a commiserations
party? I'll have
party?
A good laugh tomorrow, let me tell you. Hold on, can we do one more? Can you read Sean from Sunnybank? It's one of the greats.
Sean from Sunnybank texts through on the burner phone 0484101045. He said when he was in year nine, his HPE teacher called him into the office. Hang on a second. Called him into the office to watch Alan Langer's retirement press conference.
When it finished, I called Mum to come and pick me up. I was too shattered to go to my afternoon classes.
Can't do it, man.
I'm sorry, Sean.
Oh, Tatiana.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
God, I just saw a story about, remember Jelena Dokic, who used to play, well, she
tennis.
Was Serbian, but then she came to Australia, played for us.
She had that crazy dad who was like a tyrant, wasn't
He had a couple of times in jail.
What was his name?
Demir Dokic.
Demir, that's it.
This is what made me think of it. So at one stage, he sent a rocket blaster at the, in Belgrade at the embassy of some sort, and then he had a go at the Australian embassy. So he only just got out of jail last year. He is a mad dad.
Yeah.
But then I see she was talking last week, at the end of last week on TV about Ash Barty and started crying because Ash Barty's parents were so kind to her and she sort of thought about her own father apparently and broke down in tears on TV going, I wish I had a dad like that.
Dad who supported me like that.
But if you didn't have a mad dad, you wouldn't remember them. So I want to bring this back.
Mad Dad.
Mad dads. When dads just crack, we can keep so much inside for so long and then, like a volcano, it just erupts. Remember last time we ran this?
Yep.
Yes, I'm the mad dad. We bought the boys a brand new PlayStation for Christmas.
Good on you.
I just got sick and tired of the two fighting over a game because one kept losing.
Right, what happened?
So I just walked up, grabbed it, stomped on it. A few times.
In the lounge room?
Yep, in the lounge room. Yeah. And they went outside screaming to Mum, Dad's lost it.
Mad Dad.
How could you forget that
moment? That's
the
key here. Dad's lost it. My dad, I don't reckon my dad ever lost
it. My dad never lost it. But my girlfriend's husband, he's a bit of a mad dad. I told you, he also had a PlayStation incident where he threw it on the driveway and then got in the car, ran over it backwards and then forwards. Well, there was a boat incident. There was a fishing rod incident down at the boat ramp.
Another incident from him?
Another incident. He, the fishing rod, Christmas time, kids want to play with their Christmas presents. And
that's great.
He got this fishing rod for Christmas and he kept getting it snagged and kept having to reline it and rejig it.
Oh,
and
stop throwing it near rocks.
Oh, and so he ended up getting the willies with it. He cracked it over his knee, broke it in half and threw it in the river.
His son's Christmas present broke his son's Christmas present.
He got the willies with
He's the best.
An hour later, he was back down at BCF buying a new one.
So many times it costs you to be a mad dad.
133353. Mad dads, have you got one? Or maybe you are one. I'm a bit of a mad mum. I threw a book out the window once because the kids were fighting over it in the back seat.
I
just grabbed it. Give it to me. Grab it. Threw it out the window. I said, there. Now you can't fight over it, can you?
Bruno from Tanamera, hello.
There you go, mate.
Okay. Was it your dad?
Yeah, it was my dad. Yeah, not mad, insane.
Oh, this is good. You could give us the top 10, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we're back in the old days in the 70s, we used to get all the instruments to take home.
and my brother got a trumpet.
Oh, no.
So here he is in the bedroom. He's practicing, sounding like a screaming cat. Hey. The old man walks in, grabs a trumpet, throws it on the ground, jumps up and down on it and flattens it. And then we're like, what the hell happened there? And then he ended up having to buy a new one for the school.
How much? 150? Two?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
that's
know.
Great.
We're both looking at each other going, what the hell just happened there?
I mean, unless you're going to be playing the last post at some Anzac Dawn service, is there really a need for a trumpet anyway?
No.
Useless.
No, wouldn't have it. I don't think we were even allowed to have recorders after that.
That's another one. Jam that too.
They should all be broken. Hey, is that a text coming through?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Bruno.
Thanks, Bruno. 0484101045. Send us a text. My dad was trying to get the harmonic balancer off a crankshaft with a hammer whilst he was playing with his dentures. He dropped the dentures and smashed them with the hammer by mistake.
What?
Oh, no.
Hold on.
He would have been mad after that.
Is that an accidental dad or a mad dad? It's just dad's hitting stuff.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Triple M is your home of early access to the Ekka. We want to send you there with your family before everyone else with the Big Breakfast's first in show. Your next chance to win coming up before 8 o'clock.
Oh, blah, 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 Ekka, Dave. Like, to tell you what's on in 12 hours and 20 minutes, and that is the announcement to tell us that we have got the Olympics.
Where are we at with this? Because Anastasia Palaszczuk went over on the weekend. Yeah. When does she present to the committee to say, hey, pick us, we're the only ones that are a viable option?
They had it on the news last night. They did their practice presentation last night, and Shrina the Grinner and the federal member, what's his name, Richard Colbeck. So the three of them.
A practice.
Yeah. Oh, practice thing. And she sat there and they had some English girl and she was head of the Future Olympics Board or something. Oh. She was telling them how to go because all the Olympic delegates, which are complete wankers.
Who really are we in the race with?
Good
like
question.
Who else is
there anyone else?
Is there anyone else? Who else is
no.
putting in a tender for the
There's
bid?
There's no one else. But they're going, you've got to get a majority of votes. There's usually 130 of them. These Olympic delegates. Like we've got one from Australia. Most countries have got one apart from the little countries. There's normally 130, but because of COVID, they're going, only 87 of you can come in to vote.
Oh.
So therefore we need to get 44 minimum.
So they're the people we should be impressing. Because, I mean, we've already had the Olympics here before. We had it in Sydney in 2000. Maybe they'll be like, no,
Melbourne.
Australia has already had it. We don't want them to have it again.
We'll be one of the only, I think, the USA and...
I think it was the UK, wasn't
UK,
it?
UK.
Had it more than twice.
So this will be our third time.
Our third time. Melbourne, 1956, Sydney, 2000, and Brisbane,
2032.
But listen... This is Palaszczuk. This is in the practice presentation because she's got to stand in front of, and that's why she's over there. That's why she had to go eyeball them, these 87 delegates, and you have to get more than half. So they've got to get 44 minimum votes. But if you're sitting there as a delegate, you're going, see, the Brisbane, well, I vote. Well, I'm going to write on the piece of paper, Brisbane or...
Egypt.
Brisbane or what's the other option? There are no other options.
So we've been refining everything, and I think we're good to go.
We're good to go.
If that's her practice speech. I hope she's better in her real speech.
Oh, she'll get that.
She said, you can't say
The thing I worry about. I worry about two things. One is that the robot, Stephen Miles, he's the acting premier at the moment.
Mm.
Saw him get up yesterday. I didn't grab the audio.
Why is it that the acting stand-ins are always so lackluster? I mean, we had that Mick McCormick standing in for the...
Did you see the deputy mayor? Crikey, Krista Adams. Jesus, shouldn't she an ordinary conveyance?
Now we've got all the robots front and centre.
So the robot got up and he said, you will never, make sure you know where you're going to be. Plan to be somewhere where you will never forget it at 6:30, as in tonight. 6:30 tonight because of the big announcement. They're going to go crazy here tonight at 6:30.
If we do win the games, Brisbane skyline is set to light up. Fireworks are being prepared to be launched off barges in the river and buildings in the CBD.
Isn't that held especially for river fire?
That's right. Well, no, that's what they're saying.
Last-minute preparations are underway at the main party site in South Bank.
Party site. There's some sort
COVID
of party.
Restrictions limiting the live site to just 2,500 people.
I was just going to say, we're not allowed to go to clubs and dance and we have to wear masks. But let's go have a party at South Bank for the announcement of the Olympics, which we were already going to win. That's in 11 years' time.
That's in 11 years' time. 2,500 people, they're catering for 2,500 people to turn up. I don't get the whole thing. But for the Deputy Premier to say, you will never forget, be somewhere because you will never forget where you were. Listen, I remember where I was when Princess Diana died.
I remember where I was.
I remember where I was when 9/11 occurred.
Yeah, me too.
But they're things that just bang, suddenly happened and you stopped in your tracks. You can't plan to be somewhere, right, at 6:29 tonight, I'm going to be standing
People
somewhere.
Will not, though.
They will not. Because
it'll be all over Instagram,
what
social
else do you
media,
remember where
it'll
you
be
were.
Going nuts.
Oh, rubbish. It will not be. You tell me in your life, where else have you, what do you remember? The things that make you go, I will never forget. They're the only two I can think of in my life. Why would that be? Princess Diana.
I remember in grade 10 when my boyfriend Joel dumped me.
That where were you?
Sad. Maybe I might need the Olympics to
What about when Steve Irwin died?
To be a moment and a memory. Steve Irwin died.
Where were you when that happened?
Where were you? What are the things? Like, what?
1-3-3-5-3. Let's ask.
Is it what? Oh, no.
What are the moments in time that people remember? Will the Olympic, us winning the Olympic
Broncos
bid,
first grand final 2000 and, oh no, what was that? 90,
you remember
on, 19,
everything about every game of every football.
No, 1992 when we beat St. George. I remember the lounge I was sitting in and the house I was sitting in.
When I was in grade 10, my boyfriend rode his bike over from his shift at Big W at the Hyperdome to break up with me.
How did that go?
That was very sad. I cried.
So he finished, Thursday night shopping or
Thursday
something?
Thursday night, late like? Night shopping. He worked over at Big W and came over and
I want
said,
something bigger than that. Tristan
just
from
don't
Regents.
I think it's working anymore.
Okay, stop. It's Tristan from Regents Park. Tristan?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, what was the big event? You'll never forget where you were.
Oh, well, Marto, mine would have to be what you already said before on the Broncos grand final, mate.
Which one?
That we... Oh, 92.
92.
1992.
We were just looking at maybe moving in to take over, and my parents take over Telebudger Tourist Park, and we found our way, and so I ran up.
We lost you there, Tristan.
Hold on, Tristan.
Tristan wanted to say apparently Talibadger Caravan
He was managing the Talibadger Caravan Park when he found out the Brisbane Broncos had won the grand final.
You never forget
Incredible.
That.
What a moment for
He'd
him in his life.
He'd drive past and bore his kids every time. That's where we were
20 years later.
Won.
Won't forget.
No, never.
We've got so many of you calling through and we just can't get to you because we don't have time.
Where
but Stephen
were
from
you?
Hillcrest, Bob Hawke's famous announcement after the America's Cup.
Oh, that's
he
a good
was
one.
At home sick. Graham from Brighton's getting ready to go to work when the Sydney Olympics was announced. Like
I can,
so many
I
good
can remember
runs.
That. I can remember the Sydney Olympics because that was unexpected. We were actually up against other countries.
What about Adam from Petrie? He was an apprentice at the Lutwyche squash courts when Steve Irwin died.
Yeah, but a lot of people remember that because that came as a shock, whereas this is no shock. John from Boondall, where were you when something happened?
Yeah, g'day, mate. I'm Margo. Mate, I was in at National State School in the grade one or two class, I think it was. Sitting on the floor with all of my classmates watching black and white TV of the lunar landing and
Apollo 11
taking off.
Neil Armstrong jumping out and walking on the moon.
I'll never forget. I was in the Chermside State School Library in grade one, I think, and I was a little kid up the back. I knew there was something going on,
Incredible.
But I couldn't see the TV.
1969. Wow. What a memory.
Mm.
Theo from Annerley, 133353.
What can't he
Where
forget?
Were you and what were you, what did you remember?
I believe it was 1980. It was a school day. After school, I'm at a department store in Toowoomba, and it was announced John Lennon was shot.
Oh, God, Jerry, no. New York. God, oh, did you love the Beatles, obviously, Theo?
Well, I love the Beatles, yeah, but he was the first to go, and not just died, he was, he was murdered in front of the building.
We all know that.
Theo, try to keep the emotions contained. Where will you be tonight at 6:30?
Well, I'll remember it if we don't get it.
Yes. What if we don't get it? Has anyone thought about that? There's been all this hype and build up. We've got fireworks and barges on the Brisbane River. What if we don't get it?
I don't know.
Do we have a commiserations
party? I'll have
party?
A good laugh tomorrow, let me tell you. Hold on, can we do one more? Can you read Sean from Sunnybank? It's one of the greats.
Sean from Sunnybank texts through on the burner phone 0482. 1045. He said when he was in year 9, his HPE teacher called him into the office. Hang on a second. Called him into the office to watch Alan Langer's retirement press conference.
When it finished, I called Mum to come and pick me up. I was too shattered to go to my afternoon classes.
Can't do it,
man. I'm sorry, Sean.
Tatiana.
What was the event, Pete?
Actually, the first plane hitting World Tower. World Trade Center, mate. So it wasn't the nicest thing. But,
September 2001, yeah.
Yeah. Just walked down to my shed to jump in the car and go to work, and it was on the news. And I'd just been reading the night before a Tom Clancy book about a pilot flying a plane into the Capitol building in the United States because they're at war with a different country. And I raced up to my wife and said, "Oh, you're not going to believe this, but that book I was reading, they're talking about it on the radio." And then we flicked the TV on, and reality hit home pretty quick.
Fiction became fact on that occasion.
Incredible.
I can remember that morning, the 7 o'clock news came on. I was climbing up a ladder to do a roof, and I just stopped and went, oh my God, I went home. I was so upset.
Dave from the Sunshine Coast, what was it for you?
Morning, Margo. Morning, Marta.
Good day.
I love the show, mate.
Thanks, Dave.
Feel sorry for you.
We love it too, Dave. Thanks for being a part of it.
You're smarter than this, Dave. Come on, mate.
Where were you, Dave? What was the moment?
September 4, 2006.
Ooh, hold on.
A desk at work. Yeah, where we lost Steve Irwin.
Oh, wow.
That was tragic, wasn't it, really? Like, I don't even feel like we got to know or get to, you know, the best of him.
God,
no. Now we're stuck with those rubbish kids' ears.
And the thing was, you went, what? A stingray? We've all seen and been around stingrays. How did that get him in a crocodile? Yeah, that was a huge moment, Dave. Is there another one or for you?
Yeah, but to make it worse, 4 days later, same place at my desk.
Peter Brock died.
Yeah, hit the
tree. I worked for him 2 years as a volunteer.
No.
When he split with Holden, 87, 88.
Were they the crystals in the engine years?
No, we didn't have them, mate. We gave them to the doctor and sent him on his way.
God, I didn't even put that together. Steve Irwin and Peter Brock were the same week.
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
Rock my world. It's just shattered.
Devastating.
Do you hate that desk?
Hey?
Did you hate that? Come to hate that desk? That was responsible.
We still don't work there, do you, Dave?
No, the two owners I work for that
they died
tell
too.
Us about it all. I felt like shoving the desk with some direction.
All right, Dave. We'll get you some counseling. We'll get Dave
get some
counseling.
Dave seems to take that very personally.
Hold on. Sorry, here we go. He's a man of the match type call, in my opinion. Darren from Raby Bay.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yeah, what's your memory? Where were you?
I was selling papers at the Yakka. I was 11 years old, and Elvis died that day.
Oh wow. Jeez,
it's terribly sad, this segment, isn't it? Everybody's dying.
Well, that's what takes you by a surprise. So were you a big Elvis fan? Is that what made it so memorable?
No, it was the amount of papers sold that day. I was picking up old ones off the ground and reselling them. We ran out.
That'll do me.
We've got a text on the burner phone, Marto. Sean from Sunnybank. He was playing for South Acacia Ridge against Logan Brothers in under-15s when Gordon Tallis broke his neck.
What?
The coach told us about it at halftime and I couldn't go out for the second half. My dear, that's better. We want to remember stuff like that.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Thursday, up to 50% off excess and obsolete stock. Hurry, once it's gone, it's gone.
Oh, a couple of countdown clocks are on right now. Of course, only just over an hour and a half until our softballers, the Aussie Spirit, start playing on 7, mate. But then tonight, 6:30, there, of course, the announcement that Brisbane should win the 2032 Olympics. How significant, then, that we have the encyclopedia, the Australian Encyclopedia of Olympics, Bruce McAvaney joins us. Hello, Bruce.
Good morning, Marto. Good morning, Margot. It's a exciting day for being a Brisbaneite, I would imagine. Gee whiz, it's hard to imagine, isn't it, that you're going to have an Olympic Games here in 11 years' time. It seems a formality now, so can't wait for that decision to happen.
Well, 6:30 tonight, we will find out if it is us. And you mentioned there 11 years' time. This will be your 11th Olympic Games, Bruce. Tell me what it's been like to be a part of the Olympics and see so much greatness over that period of time.
Ah, Margot, what a question. It's been the highlight of my broadcasting life, I'd say for sure. it's given me a lot of opportunities. I've been able to see some extraordinary things and be part of probably the biggest television event in history as well, in terms of, you know, it's the biggest sporting event. It's the biggest thing I think anyone does on television, whether it be here or anywhere in the world. So, yeah, no, it's been a privilege.
Bruce, is there a chance that your favourite Olympic moment happened in those Sydney Olympics?
Away, Freeman out well, a mighty roar surrounds the stadium. Cathy, three from the left. Freeman going strongly up to almost halfway. This is where Cathy exploded in Atlanta. It's going to be a big finish. Cathy lifting, takes the lead, looks a winner. This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance. What a legend. What a champion.
That's for me. Like hopefully for a lot of Australians, because she's just such a great Aussie, and we were riding on her back, weren't we? So, and the stadium, well, I think there were 112,000 people that night. It was an incredible night, and that was the highlight of one of the best nights of athletics ever. So, yeah, I reckon that's the one.
Yeah, well, we had Freeman. We also had that men's 4x100 freestyle. I mean, for me, it was obviously Matt Shervington in that Lycra bodysuit, of course. But, Bruce, in Tokyo, you mentioned, what is the event? What is the team? Who is the personality that is going to create that moment for these games?
It's the question that we all ask ourselves, Margo, and we don't absolutely know the answer. You know, the most obvious one from an Australian point of view is you look for the swimming team. They're our most successful. But, you know, there'll be a surprise packet. There'll be a Chloe Esposito that comes out of the woods and does something extraordinary. So where we find that, it might be our new BMX rider. It might be someone from a sport. Exactly. It might be. But look, I'm thinking Ariane Titmus will be the biggest star out of these Olympics for Australia. I could be wrong, but I think she'll beat Katie Ledecky in at least one of those events.
Having seen so many Olympics and being a part of it at close hand, you've seen the inclusion over the years of new sports. What's been the biggest surprise sport, I guess you could say, as an inclusion in the Olympics? Would it be skateboarding or?
When beach volleyball came in, and you thought, wow, this is different. I mean, we've got volleyball already, and beach volleyball's now become part and parcel. So it'll be interesting to see how skateboarding and surfing. Surfing's such a world-loved sport in this country and around the world, but is it going to take off at the Olympics? We're going to find out, aren't we? But, yeah, skateboarding and sport climbing, where did these come from in a way in terms of the Olympics? But I get where the IOC are coming from. They want these games to be relevant.
Wait until 2032, Bruce. We're introducing rugby league as one of the sports here in Brisbane.
I thought you were going to say jet skiing, Marto.
Jet ski racing.
The Broncos better get back in some winning form if you're going to do that, but I'm sure they will by then. They've been a great club and they continue to be fun.
Hey, Bruce, incredible coverage by Seven. We'll be watching you. I think, did I see 45 dedicated Olympic channels across the Seven? And there'll be mega walls everywhere, I'm sure, Bruce. So we're looking forward to it.
Ah, so am I. I can't wait. You've revved me up, guys. Thanks for that.
Tokyo 2020 live and free from July 23rd on Seven and Seven Plus, the only place to see it all. Australian legend Bruce McAvaney, thanks for joining the Big Breakfast.
Come on, Aussie.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town.
Triple M.